All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back with another episode of The Left Curve. This time we have 563 DeFi. So, Five, can you please go ahead and give yourself an introduction for our audience out there?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me on, guys. This should be pretty fun. Quick background on me. My background is actually in engineering. I got my couple degrees in aerospace engineering, did some time at NASA, and then worked a little bit on defense. I've been deep into crypto this past few years, just really studying a lot. And throughout this whole bear market, just been studying a lot. So I started writing down my ideas, my thoughts on some like personal blog posts. And then some publications started to reach out on wanting to, you know, put up my stuff. And started off with Cryptonary and then worked a little bit with Bankless on some articles. And then, really jumped in with the Blockmates guys, really clicked with them, their style, how they deliver to the audience. And started with them on the research side of things. So I'm heading up the research team, leading a few folks over there. We just spun up our premium content. So that's like membership stuff. And I'm really leading the content over there. So having a great time trying to make actionable alpha for degens that don't want to sift through Messari reports and want to actually enjoy what they're reading.
Yeah, man. I mean, that was like a phenomenal introduction. I think we're going to have like so many pieces from that, but I'm just going to finish off everybody else's intro as well. My name is Adonis. I'm the CEO at RaraBlock. And then we have Blingo. Blingo, do you want to go, bro?
Yeah. Nice to meet you guys. My name is Blingo. I'm the COO at RaraBlock, also the co-founder alongside Adonis. We're usually bumping left, right, and center into Web3 projects, helping them scale on the growth side, social media, and, you know, distribution altogether. So I think we've done some good stuff here and there, and you'll probably see us around at a lot of places.
Yep. And before we start, of course, none of what we say is financial advice. We're just people on the internet. Please do your research before you ape into anything. And today we're going to be talking about, you know, the four-year Bitcoin cycle, different kinds of sectors and hot narratives that are there out there. And the U.S. election, of course. No predictions, guys. Please don't open up a poly market for me. That is all, sir. And so really, really happy to have you here, Five. But I heard a part about NASA in your introduction and I kind of like zoned out, and suddenly your profile picture made sense all of a sudden.
Yeah, man. It's funny. So my background is in aerospace engineering. So that's hence all the space imagery and such. Bit of a rocket nerd. But I kind of just latched on to crypto this few years back. Just, I think it was a John Sharp that has this. He has an economics background and he latched onto the engineering side of things. And I'm kind of the opposite. I have an engineering background and I latched onto the economics side of things. That really just really interested me with the different DeFi building blocks. That's my little bit of background. Kind of fun stories. I did a little time with NASA, but mostly did some work in the defense industry.
I think that's super cool. And I think it's funny that a lot of people in crypto have pivoted from engineering. So it reminds me of the days when it was just getting started. And I remember back in 2019 when I first heard about it, and I was still figuring out things in college. So it seems like a large journey from there, coming till here. And it's really cool that what you said about in your intro, that you like talking about things in a way that, for people who don't like to read Messari reports, first of all, that's me, all of us. This is the reason why this podcast exists, because we saw that whenever we tried to onboard some of our friends to crypto, we realized that, hey, one thing everyone said was, why are there so many jargons? At this point, my friends have picked on to the jargons, but they're yet to step into the industry. So all of them reply with, sir, and when moon and bullish, and let's fucking go. So LFG, everything exists, but right now it's still difficult for people to onboard to Web3, which is why we really respect the fact that you guys are doing something which actually caters more to retail, because again, it has, everyone talks about adoption and the next million users in crypto, But back when the bear market was on and some of the top dApps were getting only 4,500 users, the on-chain data said otherwise. And I hope, like, as we progress, this gets better. Like, right now it's the bull market, the euphoria is back. I think ETH ETF, I don't know if you guys are going to talk about this today or not, but I don't see how we can miss on it. Like, the markets have been green. I've stuck my eyes to the market past 2 days, trying to see what is performing, what is not. But yeah, I think love the fact that you guys are building for retail. And a lot of this podcast is built in a way that anyone who comes to, you know, this discussion understands what we're talking about. So I'd request everyone to, you know, talk in a way that whenever we pick on a concept, give some background. So anyone who's listening to it can also understand. But okay, the sermon is over. So let's just get started.
Yeah, man. I mean, first of all, I'd like to begin with something which is like a concept that's pretty popular in... I think it's pretty popular this cycle. It was not so popular in the last one, or maybe I was just living under a rock. But that's the four-year Bitcoin cycle, right? Everybody and their grandmom who has been exposed to crypto to some extent has been talking about, oh my God, I need to sell the top, right? And many people are saying, oh my God, you know, this was a left-translated cycle. We have already topped out, or that we will top out towards November. Other people are like, no, this is not going to be like an early cycle or even a super cycle. It's just going to play out like it has normally played out. So Five, do you have any opinions on there? Like, I'm pretty sure you guys may have looked into this yourself. So I would let you take the mic for now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense that try to assume that this cycle is not different from every other cycle that has come before us, at least from a really, really broad perspective. I don't expect the top to be exactly 4 years after last top, or the bottom to be exactly 4 years after the last bottom. I think that's kind of a silly idea. But I do think like the top and bottom fall within that 4 year frame, just broadly. I've heard some arguments back and forth about like left translated just because of how quickly we're going up this cycle. And I think it just makes sense to be hedged either way. If a lot of people think that the top is going to be earlier in the cycle, maybe it makes sense to hedge your bets and sell a little bit earlier and then just wait for, you know, the super cyclers to come back too. But yeah, it is interesting because with this whole new ETF inflow boom, maybe that does bring things forward from a timing perspective this time. And I guess we just have to wait and see. And if we get some kind of major blow off top, I don't think we've had that yet, obviously, but if we get that kind of move, then yeah, it doesn't really matter where we are in the 4 year cycle. It makes sense to take some money off the table.
Yeah, I think I was farting for the past 2 weeks. Like, inherently, I'm a pessimist. So I was trying to see, did I miss the top? Is that what missing the top again feels like? And so on and so forth. But then I actually had some conversations with this cool project. It's called BTC Layer. And they were talking about something, how it's the pre-bull market post-halving. And now the bull market starts. I mean, not to say that I subscribe to it, but I like the idea of it. So, I mean, as a optimist, I would like to adopt that idea that, okay, pre-bull is over. And this is the bull market that's starting, and now it's going to go to 100K. Again, not financial advice, but 100K. You have to, you know, believe.
Belief
sits at the center of a lot of these activities, right? So, but yeah, I think I love that about crypto personally. But yeah, Adonis, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just saying, Five, that, you know, that was very eloquently put, to have like all different possibilities be up in the air. And I think a lot of people subscribe to the four-year cycle because it's easy for them to understand, right? Like, it's going to bottom, then 4 years later, we're going to have like a repeat, rinse and repeat of the same thing. I think Bob Lucas, of course, is to be credited with a lot of the popularity. I think he's one of the few people who has maintained a very high signal-to-noise ratio, if I may say. Because within crypto, I think there's this general understanding that the more you tweet, the more of an audience you're going to gather around. I'm curious to know, like, for somebody who's like really into reading like Messari reports and other reports like these, do you find do you find it worth it to like tweet out your findings about these things, or do you think like, oh man, nobody cares until and unless it has something to do directly with the prize itself?
Well, hopefully people care about the research. I mostly stick to longer form stuff. Most of my reports are a little bit longer form than a tweet can handle, but I do tweet out from time to time. Really high level stuff though. I find that going into the weeds doesn't really work very well on Twitter. But yeah, I like Bob's stuff too. I think he does just kind of, he does like his 1 monthly report and then goes away for a while. And I think that's definitely a manner in which a lot of retail people can understand. And because a lot of people don't want to be locked in as much as we are from every day. And if they just want to like dabble, you know, do their one DCA a month and then, okay, check the price. Are we topped? No. All right. I'll just keep DCAing, that kind of thing. I think it just really depends on what type of investor you want to be.
What would be your favorite sectors then? I mean, I'm guessing you must be reading into different kinds of reports. And what kind of like an interesting reports have you recently come across when it comes to like different sectors as such?
Yeah, I've been really interested in the whole crossover with AI recently, the last few months anyway. I've been doing a lot of research into that side of things. I think in a lot of ways, it's similar to how, you know, crypto started and like cryptocurrency started. You have this disintermediation of getting rid of these middlemen in the banking system. You can have the same ideas and same assurances with getting rid of these large conglomerates of AI centralization factors and attaching some kind of cryptography to AI to either make it verifiable, to make it less centralized, to make it less prone to bias. I think that's really interesting. So I've been digging into a lot of those different projects recently.
Wow. I mean, I cannot brush past this without plugging in Aura. I don't know if you're aware of what they're doing, but they recently did their first IMO, which is initial mode offering. What that means is they tokenized the training data of a model and helped the project tokenize that training process with OLM and helped them raise like $5 million. So it seems like it's one of the promising projects in the AI space. And I personally like what they're doing. I think they're doing like AI oracles as well. So connecting, you know, Stable Diffusion or some of the other ones to actual blockchain. So it's kind of cool what they're doing, but had to give this plugin here because so yeah, no, but I like what they're doing, to be honest. Like, it seems like it's one of the novel projects on the space, and definitely I was looking into some of the others as well, like Sahara and Talis and Near, which has been popping both literally and figuratively. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I think it kind of falls into a couple of different categories. So you have like crypto that can help AI. So whether that be incentives that help build AI or have some like ZK proofs to prove different provenance or different verifiability of models. And then you can have AIs that help crypto, where mostly those are apps. So like plugging in LLMs to different DeFi apps, or yeah, pretty much just that. It's having some kind of model assist crypto apps. So that's kind of how I think about it. But there's a lot of vaporware out there too. So just be careful when doing research. People like to attach to any hot narrative out there and just try to do a lot of research when it comes to something that's that hot.
I'm so happy you actually brought it up, to be honest. This idea of vaporware.
There's a lot. It's ridiculous. especially in the AI space, because it's, you know, you get the hype from retail and web too, and then you get the crypto hype too. But I think people should be careful not to throw the baby out with the bathwater, just because there's good stuff there. It's you just have to dig through all the garbage first.
And I think filtering out the garbage, and I think when we had other people on the podcast as well, this was something we talked about. So this has been like a whole theme throughout the process, that something when new people enter to this space struggle a lot with is like filtering out this garbage, right? So I think we've asked this question before to others. We'll ask it to you as well, Five, that what is your go-to mechanism to, you know, spot the bullshit or like cut the crap from like, there's a lot of noise. It's the bull market on CT. What is your mechanism to, you know, filter from a research standpoint or as an investing standpoint?
Yeah, and I totally sympathize with newer people coming in just because they're bombarded with all of the noise before any signal comes through. I would say either stick with projects that are getting good coverage from actual research publications. And then if you'd want to actually go into the weeds and start digging through specific projects, try to look out for a lot of the red flags. So the project is talking a lot about their token, probably not great. If they're not focusing on their roadmap and what they're trying to build towards, that's not great. The founders are anon and they don't want to answer your questions, it's probably not great either. If the community is very focused on the price and only focused on getting like the attention of big Twitter accounts, also not great. And it's tough when you're trying to dive into new industries or like new sectors of crypto, because you just see this new project and you're like, oh, that's great. That's a good idea. And you don't have that basis of what else is out there. So I find, even though it's a long process, just try to go through and learn about as many projects as you can, try to get the lay of the land. So when I started doing all this AI stuff, I tried to just, I kept a list of every single project that came about and made some notes on each one. And you try to categorize them and see who's competing with who, which project vision you like the best, which founder makes the most sense, who's backing what. Because if you just take a look at one project in a vacuum, it's not always the best plan because this is a whole ecosystem out there.
I think so. I just want to say that when Five mentioned the list, you know, the meme that went through my head was like, take my money. I want that list. He's like, because I think it's interesting. And then the second thing that popped in my head was like, okay, now it makes sense why Five is in research. So my man was like actually making lists of like founders and how proactive they are when he was like going through due diligence. I think it's pretty cool. And I would love to, you know, ask a follow-up question on top of that. But I didn't want to cut you off. I'll let you speak first.
No, man, actually, my question was that since this podcast is for quote-unquote plebs, which we once were, and we secretly still are, yeah. What does that research process actually look like for somebody who is...
Okay, everyone is interested in the template. It's like, take my money for the template. We want to get the template.
I dropped in the thread that I made when I made this giant list, but this was just like the names of projects. You can go through and start looking at the different categories. But really it starts with just going on Twitter and just going to other people's lists and then trying to do some research into competitors, other projects. And I just made an Excel file that went through all these and took notes on all of them. It's nothing too crazy. Try to take notes and then try to categorize them. And then once you get to the lay of the land, you can see like, oh, these projects are working on GPU networks. These ones are working on AI training. These ones are working on data gathering and labeling. And then you can start like, you know, going through each a little bit more in depth. If you like find one category that's super interesting to you, try to figure out what your favorite project is in that category. That's how I think about it anyway.
Oh, wow. I think that's a great way to start out. And I think, I'm not sure if you simplified it for plebs, but that does sound pleb friendly. That make a list, go into like...
Yeah, make a list. Yeah, it shouldn't be that hard. You can make a list of your favorite projects, what you like about them, what you don't like about them, list any red flags. I think that's a great way to start.
Yeah. And I'd like to reiterate the red flags that you mentioned. So you said that founders are not proactive and they don't answer the questions. The community seems focused more around price and there is no genuine activity or shipping out from the founders or the team in itself. So I think I can imagine some communities while we say that. So yeah, or a lot. I would not say a few, I would say a lot. But yeah, that's part of the process. So filtering out the crap from the good projects is something really important. But I'd like to ask you like a question on a personal note. Like, given now that you have so much research to do, and I think this is something I struggle with, I know Adonis does too. So how do you think your whole research style, you know, gels into your current workflow? Like, is that a part of your daily workflow that you come in, update that list? Because I feel like adoption is personally my big problem. Now that I know there's a list, I would love to understand how does Five fit this into his day? And maybe you want to answer that one.
Yeah, so I can just talk about this AI one. I made this list, did all my background for the different projects. And then you start trying to think about which sectors really find the most interesting within that broad sector of AI. And then from there, try to dig a little bit deeper into which of these projects you would like to cover in depth. So once that happens, I try to, my articles are, I usually just focus on either one project or one subsection of a sector. So I did a research article on like Solana Deepin projects, so like decentralized physical infrastructure projects. And so I looked into that. I think that's interesting just because, I mean, Solana is supposed to be this whole, you know, low friction environment, and they already have a lot of these Deepins, like Helium was on there pretty early, and so was HiveMapper. So you have some proven networks on there that you can plug into. So Deepin was pretty hot when that was coming out. And then, the whole process where I go through is, you know, whatever is like super, super interesting to you when you do this research, because there's a lot of cool projects being worked on. So you kind of have to be pretty ruthless in what you want to dive deep into. Because you only spend so much time in this stuff.
Yeah, that's true. And I think we'd love to, you know, dive deeper into some of the sectors that we talked about. I think we've already touched based on AI, we've touched based on, you know, Deepin, and definitely like how Solana ecosystem has been popping. But coming to the Solana ecosystem, I think there's another question that has been popping in our heads is like the US elections and the whole meme coin season, how it ties to Solana altogether. So we'd love to get your opinion on some of the macro events. I would say election is definitely a big one coming up in the US, but are there any events post-halving that you're looking onto based on different ecosystems?
Yeah, no, I don't try to trade around macro events. I've found that's just a losing battle for me anyway, mm-hmm. but it's important to watch them for sure. I think all this new crypto regulation potentially coming out from the US side is interesting and potentially very exciting. I think Biden's kind of in a tough spot right now. I don't know when this is going live, so this might have already been under the rug anyway. But so with this new bill going across and coming out of Congress, he already said he was going to veto it as it comes across his desk. But then a lot of Democrats stepped across the aisle and signed it, signed yes. And I'm interested to see what happens next, you know? So I think if it goes from a 50-50 chance that we get a pro-crypto president to 100% chance, just because, you know, Biden's just fine with it, then I think that's massively bullish and exciting. I'm pretty optimistic on the future of crypto regulation in the US at this point. I think at least it's a generational thing and not a partisan thing. And, you know, eventually generation will win out because that's how time works. So it's just a matter of time, I think.
Yeah. And I think I like how, I mean, we've always talked about how, you know, in the bull cycle, it translates into retail. And everyone says like Coinbase trending on the App Store is like the top bull signal. But I think some of our analysts the other day were discussing that Phantom has recently popped up to like the top apps on Apple App Store.
It was like number top three four? Utilities. No. It's number three on utilities or something. I'm not sure of like the exact number, but it was
Regional, right?
Yeah, that's true. but I think we saw that. But I think in my personal life, what I've seen is, like, I was in Denver and, like, I met some of my cousins after that, and one of them is trying to become a doctor, and she goes like, hey, I'm thinking that I'll start trading Ethereum and it will help me, you know, pay out my medical school fees. And I was like, what? I'm like, okay, that makes me bullish, and I hope, like, legislation comes out in favor of crypto, because there are a lot of things that a lot of people are not aware about, because it seems like all the crap makes it to plebs before the actual stuff. So everyone knows how it pumps one day and how it dumps one day. But I think a lot of intricacies still are missing in at least the retail narrative. So it feels easy, like, for us three of us talking together, just saying Deepin is, like, such a simple thing. But I feel like a lot of them kind of take a lot of time. But I'd say we'd love to talk to you about, you know, we talked about macros. You said that you personally don't like to trade around those events, but you keep a close eye, which means, like, somehow everyone kind of fears getting wrecked by these events. So I would want to say or ask, like, what is your personal agenda to not going wrecked in this space?
Well, it's to have, like, a long-term view, right? If one macro event is going to shake your investment theory, then you're probably doing it wrong.
Yeah.
You're probably a little too short-sighted, or at least that's how I don't trade. I'm more of an investor, so if that's more your style, then go for it. But that would drive me crazy if I have to pay attention to all that.
But if you have to rank some of the sectors you're bullish on in terms of being an investor, if I say pick top three, which ones will you say?
Yeah, I'm really excited about AI, like I said. I think meme coins will do well. I just don't have any kind of edge in that. So I try to stay away from it for the most part. I have a couple, you know, like higher market cap ones that I just don't have to care about too much. But then you can look at real world assets. I think those are very interesting. I guess those would be my top three. If I got rid of memes, I guess restaking is up there. I just don't think that's going anywhere. I know people were upset about the Eigenlayer airdrop, but it's still going to be a top 10 project. So it's fun to watch.
Yeah. I mean, I think we discussed this internally as well. So we also work with a liquid restaking project known as Yieldnest. They've recently gone live as well. I think almost like a week or two ago, and they've already surpassed like 10 million in TVL. And that just showcases you the amount of growth that we're witnessing. I think Thor recently made like a long form tweet about this as well, that year to date growth of liquid restaking has been like 4,000% or something. And now we're seeing like this liquid restaking idea getting popular on Solana as well. So I think it's a very good sign that something's time has arrived when it starts being inspired into like different formats across various different chains. So just looking at that, the whole idea of liquid restaking is super interesting. It's also super dangerous to me when I really look into it, because like one major miss or one major mistake and all of it can potentially come crumbling down, which is why if you look at the papers and everything, they have appointed like slashing conditions. They're yet to go live, but you know, they have like very strict slashing conditions and, you know, security measures in place. I really hope that whole sector stays intact, because I have a very weird hunch that the next bear market is going to come from like a collapse or something like that. At least that's like one of my bear case scenarios into the future. But I'm really, really happy that, you know, you mentioned meme coins as well. I'm obnoxiously exposed to Gio Borden on Solana. So I really hope it goes well.
Yeah. I have to ask, like, you guys were talking about LRTs and someone mentioned Solana. I think Adonis, you did. What's up with Marinade Finance? I remember, like, what's happening to LSDs there? It's been a while. Like, I remember everyone was talking about Sanctum the other day. And I don't know if Five, you've been following Sanctum as well. But I remember in the early... Was it 23? Yeah. The early 23 started with the LDO hype, right? So when we saw a lot of these projects, you know, blow up. So I don't know if you've been following LSDs on like different chains as well beyond LRTs, because now LRTs seem to be all the hype. But yeah, would love to understand like your take on how do you see like Lido dominance perhaps in this space as LRTs take like a more central control.
Yeah, no, I have been following Sanctum. I think they have a cool vision. I kind of wish that something like that existed when LST started popping off over on ETH. I do see some risk with free staking. Obviously, there's some like rehypothecation going on there, but I think a lot of people are overblowing the risk. If you look back at how much ETH has been slashed in total, just since slashing has gone live on Ethereum mainnet, it's very low. It's something like one ETH in total. So I don't know. I'm not really that worried just yet. It seems like Eigenlayer is, as much crap as they get, they're being very careful about how they're rolling out this slashing. And
yeah,
especially with their Eigen token being what is on the line for the most part, I don't think they're really trying to overload the consensus of Ethereum too bad. I mean, I think Eigen could be hurt if that happens, if there's like some giant slashing event on Eigenlayer, but I don't really think that translates completely over into ETH. I think you start getting into some weird risks when you start basketizing a lot of these different LRTs, because what you have to think about is if you're buying an LST, it's kind of just buying a bond. You're just like buying this instrument that gets some kind of yield. But if you're buying an LRT, you're kind of just trusting the provider of that LRT to support different ABSs in Eigenlayer, these different services that are getting restaking service through Eigenlayer. And you don't have a big say on which ones they pick. So it's kind of like hiring a portfolio manager that's managing different risks across your entire portfolio with which start services those your ETH is securing. So just watch that, and you can see that different LRTs are going to have different strategies, and most of them are very focused on risk because of how risky it could be and how large these guys have already got, like billions in TVL.
Yeah. But I would love to ask, like, is Blockmates building their own ABS? A question everyone wants to know.
No, nothing like that.
Like, that pivot from research to ABS would be cool. It's like, okay, let me just... Now, it's okay, Sonic, Phantom, whatever. Now I'm launching my own layer too.
Yeah.
I think that should be something really cool.
I have a very good Chain Yoda quote for this, which is, you either die a dApp or live long enough to see yourself become an L2. And I live by that.
No, I think we should do this trend. Like next April Fool's Day, we ask Blockmate guys to announce that, hey, we're building an ABS, we'll launch an L2. And we'll say that, okay, we're building a gaming chain on top of all the agencies and research firms together saying, okay, let's now make this happen. So that might be a cool thing that we could do. But exactly. Yeah, I think like, okay, so many chains are happening. Like, I can't, you know, let this pass before announcing without letting the Sonic thing go, because I don't know what your take was on that one. But I think, how do you see, like, you remember, like, around 8 months ago, it seemed to be, like, the Cosmos narrative was that, oh, Atom is, like, the super chain thesis. And I think now someone will actually need a super chain because there are so many L2s that what's up with, like, so I think it's in favor of like all these aggregation layers that are talking about chain abstraction now. So I saw Socket do it, some of the other ones, Polygon has been talking about it. But we'd love to understand how you're seeing the whole L2 space with everyone having their own stack to deploy on, and when ABS and when L2, the only question.
Yeah, no, it gets dizzying seeing all the different L2s for sure. But I'm happy to see that there's a lot of iteration innovation going on. It's just to keep track of all of this. I mean, all these can't survive, you know. I'm pretty excited about Base. I think those guys are doing a lot of things right. I think the experimentation in the background with Mantle and Blast is in mode are interesting, just because having like a chain that's built on top of yield generating assets is pretty cool. But yeah, it's really I just tell people, if you want to try them out, just go and tinker around on all these, just see how they're different, see how the different apps feel, and see what you like, just because not one person can't like get a good feel for all of these. There's just too many.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, the best part is that whatever chains Five is bullish on, I have their meme coins. like the best bet I could have made, and I made it, and now it's all being like reinforced by Five. But you know, in essence of time, Five, I have to ask you these questions as well as we move towards the end, which is, you know, you've been around in the space for quite some time. You know, you pivoted from NASA all the way into crypto. I don't know what made you do that. Why did you choose to enter into one of the world's most volatile industries?
Because he realized when moon. And he said, actual Venmoon.
The moon that actually matters. He finally came to grip with it. But if you like reflect on your journey, and you know, if you could be like starting out, you know, you can go back in time, talk to yourself on day one of when you were joining, what pieces of advice would you now give to yourself? And the intent behind asking that question is, you know, there may be people in similar shoes, perhaps not as qualified as you to be from NASA. But still, people who are like newly entering into the markets, who may be looking into, okay, I want to do something that Five does, you know, what pieces
of
advice?
Yeah, people like me. So
yeah,
that's a good question. I mean, I dove in headfirst into the industry because like I couldn't stop thinking about anything besides crypto, and I figure might as well use that to help people and try to get my thoughts out. So, I mean, the biggest thing that helped me was to write down my ideas. And if I'm interested in this project, start writing about why I'm interested in it. And that kind of brings out, you know, it helps you clarify your thoughts. And putting it out there, it just, it leaves it up for people to poke holes in it, poke holes in your ideas. And I think that's a good collaborative process. Try to get your ideas down on paper and, you know, just put it out there for people to talk through. I think if I were to go back, I'd try to be a little bit more open in what I wanted to learn about. I think I focused really hard into specific sectors when I should have been a little more intellectually curious. So just try to be a little bit open, as open as you can on different ideas of what could be interesting in crypto, because there's a lot of different sectors that are really cool. And then people just close themselves off to it because it's not part of their interests. You know, I mean, you can go really deep into certain sectors, but just keep an eye out of what's going on because something could surprise you. Try to use all the apps that you can. And yeah, just be curious. That's what I try to do.
Yeah, and if you want to get airdrops, make sure that you're not a citizen of the United States.
While
you're using those apps. But I really like the idea of, you know, putting your writing out there and allowing others to like poke holes in your theory, because most people would really love to like strawman other people's arguments. But you know, it takes a lot of guts to put an idea out that you genuinely believe in, and then, you know, accept that it's going to be martyred in the online space when you put it out there. But I think, yeah, beyond the initial pain, I think you're better off getting that feedback.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think people are generally fairly welcoming unless you're fudding their bags. Like if you're genuinely trying to put ideas out there, like I think this is cool because X, Y, and Z, and someone will come up and be like, have you heard of this? Like, oh, that's cool. I'll check that out too. Or yeah, it's a good way to start building your community, because I know when I started out, didn't really have a lot of people to bounce ideas off of, and that was tough because you're kind of just doing this on your own. So finding your like little community helps a lot, and that's kind of what we're trying to build, you know, Self-Chill on Blockmates, like community. It's trying to have that like backstop and be like, what do you guys think about this idea? I think it's pretty cool. And like, no, that's garbage, man. I don't know what you're talking about. Or have you seen that the founder rugged over here or something? And you just never know unless it's hard to find everything on your own. So try to find your community, wherever that is. Try to find honest people working towards like goals that you also have, because they're out there.
Yeah. That's Man. Correct.
That's a lot of key takeaways. My key takeaway number one would be, form a list, a of all the interesting projects.
Number two, well, yeah, don't just doom scroll. I think the list thing is like, don't just doom scroll and be like, oh, that's cool, I'm moving on. Try to like keep a list and try to like at least do the minimum amount of work, you know, try to write down your thoughts about why you think different tickers are interesting.
Yeah, because I think it makes a lot of sense. And in hindsight, it seems like great advice. It's like Five is talking to me directly, because for like a solid 1 year, I was the Misur. So I missed on everything and I read about a lot of things. I was an early fader of Pepe as well. I'm like, enough of this crap. I'm above all this shit and like, it will not pop off and blah, blah, blah. And I saw a lot of people talking about, oh, what's Pepe? This, that, what's the ticker? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, huh. Then 7 days later, I missed out on like $200 turning into millions. But who knows, right? You saw it with your own eyes. So keeping a list seems like a great idea. My key takeaway would be filling that list or keeping that list updated, because I always make lists, but I never keep track of them later. So I think that's my takeaway.
For real. And also like the idea of, I should perhaps like after this conversation, I might just take my own Twitter more seriously, not because I want to, you know, impart any sort of knowledge, but because I want to have holes poked into my theories and, you know, I want to have my bags fudded a little bit, for the lack of a better phrase, so that I know at least that, okay, does this shake my conviction or not? But, you know, the ending question I always ask everybody, Five, is, you know, who is one Web3 Chad that you would want us to invite to the Left Curve podcast?
The guys that run Exit Liquidity, pretty fun. Cito and Ali. And so those guys are fun. You have one of them on there.
You know, I used to like look into their Notion page. They had curated like this Notion page, right? Of like, okay, will this token perform well or not? And I really liked it. Exit Liquidity.
Yeah, they're actually doing the research. So, and they're fun guys to talk to. Definitely.
Perfect. That's a reach out that we're going to make. Don't worry about it. And that's all from my end. Thank you so much for hopping out of this podcast, man. I really appreciate the time that you've spent with us. And if you love the show, of course, please do give us a follow at RadarBlock and our individual accounts, which are 0x Adonis Cyril and Blingo No. And make sure you follow our guest as well, 563DeFi at 563DeFi. That's all for my end, guys. All right. Have a good one, gents. Cheers.